Hi, this is Dave Rowntree, author of Paranormal Technology, Understanding the Science of Ghost Hunting, lecturer, author, and paranormal researcher. And when you're not busy in the field, do what I do and listen to the Mallard Report with Jim Mallard.
The opinions expressed in the Mallard Report are those of the hosts and participants and are not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any simulcasting radio network or sponsor. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report. The paranormal talk radio show with Jim Mallard as your host. See what lies beneath any paranormal activity go inside a world that others don't want to see. It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report.
Thank you for joining me tonight. Yeah, it's tonight still. It's okay. We're recorded because, well, as you'll probably figure out by listening to her, she's not necessarily local. So, how are you doing across the old pond this evening?
I've just actually finished dancing to your intro music.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be I like that one, but I think I'm going to, like, lengthen it out and put the disclaimer under the intro music, too, so it all gets all... Because that little clip is just not long enough, because it's... I like it, but...
It definitely makes you move. I was dancing quite happily, actually.
Yeah, well, that's my problem. I start dancing and then start chair dancing a little bit, which is, I'm sure, a picture that people want to see, me chair dancing, but... And then I forget I have to host the show.
Well, it's good to have a little bit of fun beforehand.
Yeah, it's all right. It could be worse, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, my guest tonight is Lindsay and Kendall. Kendall, right? I'm going to say your last name right.
Yeah, Kendall.
Okay, I just want to make sure before I keep slaughtering it all night and you get mad at me later.
No, I am most things. It's okay.
So, author, I've noticed a number of books. You want to just start, give me a general description of what books you've got out there? And...
Yeah, they're young, well, at the moment, they're young adults, but they are currently being enjoyed by all age ranges. They definitely fall into the urban fantasy. Paranormal romance category, and they're a little bit different. I don't like to follow set rules and patterns, so it's a bit crazy in parts. It does touch, I've got a trilogy out at the moment, the Bloodlines trilogy, that does have some religious aspects to it. Some people I've reacted a bit strange to it, because it kind of takes modern beliefs and twists them all around. So that's met with some criticism, but also people have broadened their minds a little bit, shall we say. There's another series coming out. The first book's actually released, that's Leticia, and that's actually set over here in England, not too far away from where I live. Again, it's an urban fantasy, but... I always struggle when people tell me to describe my books because some aren't out yet and I try and describe the whole story and I really need to stop doing that. I don't split them up into the books, it's the whole thing. But that's got a colourful cast of characters. There's werewolves, there's vampires, there's shapeshifters. And I'm not telling you any more than that because... need to read the book.
As long as you tell me the vampires don't sparkle, we'll be okay.
No, most definitely not. No, they don't. No, it is... He can be modern, Dave Ampino, the nicey-nicey person, but he's got a snappy side to him, which is how I think vampires should be. They're not supposed to glitter and be all sparkly and loving and sweet and innocent. They're supposed to want to tear at your throat.
It's true. I agree with you. For what that's worth.
Don't get me wrong, some of these in the books when they're quite dashing and You want to meet them, but it's not really my thing. It's not my thing.
No, I can't. And I had Jim DeFelice on, who is a New York Times bestseller author, on a few weeks ago, and he was telling me by the time the book gets to publish and people want to talk about it, he's on to his, probably on to a second book by the time, because there's one that gets done while he's editing, and then as it's going to print, he does another one. So he's kind of like, I'm on to something else. It's hard to talk about that. I have this other story in my head now.
That's true. I mean, I've got three that I'm working on at the moment.
How? I can barely keep this little show together, and I don't have... Well, I have voices in my head, but that's a whole other story.
Well, yeah, I've joined you on that one. It can be a bit crazy. You can get a bit confused sometimes. But I've just had revelations going through the edits and being ready to be released. And I'm working on the second part of Betrayal. I've got a short story series. I'm working on the second one to that. And I have a secret project which is going on at the moment, which is going to be an adult novel. There's going to be some rather passionate scenes in it. So all those ideas are buzzing around my head 24 hours a day. So it can get a bit crazy. And when somebody says to you, what's this particular book about, you have to try and block everybody else out, because there's about 100 characters all talking to you at the same time.
It always amazes me when I talk to writers. I have a hard time keeping my guests and myself straight, let alone...
I have a hard time keeping myself straight.
I would imagine so. So, one of my favorite questions to ask writers when I have them on is, do you still write pen and paper, or are you just strictly on the computer now?
Mainly on the computer. I've got a little notebook that I take out and it fits perfectly into my handbag. So I can write on the go. And I have a Windows phone, so that's got the Microsoft Word app on there. I can type anywhere. But I must admit, I do carry a notebook around with me as well, in case I get any ideas. My battery on my phone might be running low, or I've not got my computer with me, and I can jot them all down. But actual typing up of the book, I can't read my own handwriting, so it has to be on the computer.
I understand that one completely.
It's shocking. It says something if you can't read your own, doesn't it?
But you get going, so you get so many things going for your mind, you're trying to keep up with your mind, and it just never works out.
No, it doesn't. But I also grip my pens that hard that I can't write for very long anyway.
Well, that's a good thing, then, so it keeps you from doing it, so.
Well, keyboard all the way for me.
So, as you know, my wife's a big fan of yours, so I had her write me some questions, because what else do I have to do, right? To keep her happy and keep her...
I'll say hi! I've spoken to her a few times, and she's such a pleasure to speak to. She's a really, really nice, genuine woman. It's nice to hear from her. You meet a lot of people when you're a writer. I'm all the way in England. I'm in Manchester, and I think about 75% of my friends list on Facebook are actually Americans. I probably would never get to meet half of them.
Yeah, it's a good time to be alive, as I tell people. The world's really small right now.
It is. But they're so nice. I wish a lot of them lived next door.
Well, I think that's coming if we can get this teleportation thing down a little bit. But
that I want to have a go. Yeah, definitely. That'd be good.
So, one of her first questions here is, who are the authors that inspire you? Because I know that you do a number of writing about reading, and we'll get to that later. So.
Mm-hmm. When I was in school, I used to read the Point Horror Collections, and there was an author, I don't know if I actually say her name correctly, so forgive me if I don't, but I'm sure it's Richard Tankersley-Cusick, and her books were brilliant. I've always had a love of horror and fantasy, and nothing frightens me anymore, sadly, but it still interests me. I read all her books. Back then, if you told me I was going to be an author, I'd have laughed, because I wanted to be an interior designer or a computer technician. But I must say she's definitely left an imprint, because I can remember all her books. And some of the other authors I read that used to contribute to the Point Horrors, I can't remember them. And that's not saying that their work was bad. They certainly weren't. But her sticks out more than any. I think the way she wrote, the mood setting, everything, I think she was fantastic.
Yeah. There's always one that always drives you back or made you real. Okay, so the next, I'm kind of jumping down the list here, but I think this one fits right after this one. What made you realize you wanted to be a writer?
Wow, that's a very long story, so let's try and shorten that.
No, you don't have to take too much out of it if you don't want to. I mean, I'm not going to force you to.
To be honest and truthful with you, without doing the whole sympathy vote thing, because I don't ever want that, I was actually very, very poorly when I was in my early 20s. I had a full nervous and mental breakdown. And I went from being a social butterfly who was out every night to a recluse, which was absolutely terrible. I was suffering with panic attacks, anxiety attacks. I was agoraphobic, couldn't go outside the door. And I used to spend most of my time just sat in my room. And it was just... it was boredom kicked in, because I couldn't go anywhere. I didn't see anybody. I also had friends because of it. And one night when I'd got so tired of just watching the TV, because I've never been one for sitting down and watching the television, and there was just nothing to do, I started writing silly little stories of basically what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be. It was like a diary mixed with a little bit of fantasy in there. And one night it was just there. That's the only way, I don't know how else to explain it. It was, this story just came into my head and I started writing little things out, and I never expected it to turn into a book. And I'd hid it from everybody. I was embarrassed for some reason that I was writing these little stories to try and keep my mind going. And it was actually my mum that came in, and she thought it was a diary that I was keeping, until she realised she didn't recognise any of the names on the page. And she said, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm writing a book. And she really stood behind me. She encouraged me. She thought it was something fantastic. And once I'd finished I passed it over to her. She was gobsmacked. You know, she was really taken aback. And I passed it to a couple of friends, and my sister read it. And they said, you've got to try and do something with this. I contacted a few publishers over here and signed a contract with one. Right now, I wish I hadn't, but I did. But that was it. That was it. And then this one book turned into three. And although it was born out of a very, very dark and horrible time in my life, I think it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Because if I didn't go through that time and all those problems and the upset back then, I wouldn't be where I am now.
Very, very well, very well spoken, very true. You've got to have the lumps to get to where you want to be. So
it's a shame it was born that way, but who knows, if that hadn't have happened, I might have been an interior designer, I might have been working on computers. But as it happens, I wouldn't change this for the world.
Hey, and if there's worse things that you could have did in the previous life that could help you be, well, you were just talking about using computers all the time, so.
Wow.
Trust me, I understand because I break mine quite well. We were just talking before we started here. My keyboard wasn't working, and I'm just sitting here banging on my keyboard, like thinking, "Hey, some." Took me 5 minutes of going, pushing, you know, because I'm trying to bring up the different programs. So I'm hit start, you know, so I can search the program out. I'm like, why? And I'm like, then I, you know, closed the menu, restarted the computer. Now it's working just good, so I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to touch it too much.
No, just carry on and hope that she behaves herself. So that's basically my story.
That's your story. And that's Lindsay and Kendall, if you don't recognize the voice. Boy, I'm starting to pick up the accent. I'm not sure if that's going to be helpful or hurtful towards the end of this interview, but we'll...
Don't lose your accent. I love speaking to people in the US. I love the accents. I could listen to you talk all day.
Well, you say that now until a few... You know. No, that's the funny thing. Now, it seems as of late that I've noticed more downloads coming from over there and more little messages coming from over there. So it was just perfect timing that I got somebody from over there. So maybe it'll spread out a little bit further. And so,
well, I hope so.
We'll see how it all pans out. Well, hopefully, we'll find some more fans for you over there.
Oh, that would be brilliant. Yeah.
No promises, though. But you know. Well, that's the least I can... At least we can try. That's all we can do.
Well, yeah, it's always a bonus.
So, when you get the new, like the brand new concept for a story in your head, do you outline it, or do you just let it flow, or how does that all come together?
Once it's in my head, it never leaves. There is a... How do I put it normally? It's like a very big computer hard drive inside my skull. And once the information is in there, it never comes out unless I decide I don't want it anymore. It's strange. I don't make notes of anything unless I'm out and about and just want to jot something down quick for a possible idea. But I'll sit here, lie here, I'll have my music in my ears. And I mean, music's a big inspiration to me. I listen to it and I watch like little movies in my head. I see my characters doing all sorts of different things, and it never goes away. It never goes away. It's just imprinted.
So
I can be listening to a piece of music I've never heard before, and suddenly I'm no longer in the room. You know, I'm stood with the characters from whichever book they decide to crop up from, and I'll see them do something, and I think, oh yeah, I'm going to use that.
Any particular genre of music, or just whatever's on, or whatever you find? Or
I'm a very, very dark person. I like very, very dark music. It's Cradle of Filth. I do like some Bullet for My Valentine. Their music can be quite heavy. But Cradle of Filth is an awful... There's an awful lot of their songs that inspire me. I can't really stand the screaming very much, but the music itself is so dark. It's just fantastic, absolutely fantastic, and it suits my books. But I like instrumental as well.
So
I do like instrumental.
To go back a little bit, I guess maybe, what steps should someone take that wants to become a writer?
Oh gosh.
Well, I think the first one is start writing, right?
Well, I mean, people approach it different ways. Some will write little notes down, try and, you know, build up a storyline and then start writing and fill in the gaps. If you're like me, you'll just basically open up Microsoft Word and start. And then it doesn't stop. There's so many different ways for people to do this. It depends how you're inspired. It depends on where you're comfortable writing. If you want people to know about it, if you don't want people to know about it, that's going to be a factor in it. It's just do it. Just do it. Do it in whatever ways comfortable for you, however you want to do it, just do it. Don't let anything stop you.
It was advice somebody gave me when I started doing the show. The best way to learn how to do it is doing it.
It is. It is. And, I mean, you'll find peeves that you'll find what you like, what you don't like. And, I mean, some people are very, very common who's an avid reader. And people have said to her, myself included, why don't you try and write a book? And she did write a few chapters of it, and then everything left her. There was no inspiration. She didn't know where to go with the storyline. And it's a shame, because I've actually read the few opening chapters that she wrote, and it was a very, very good opening, and I was really intrigued. I really wanted to read the rest of this book, but the likelihood is that she won't write it. You know, so some people will go out and try and do it and then find it's not for them. They'd prefer to read. Whereas others will go on and they'll write, but you don't know unless you try.
That's right. People have been poking at me to write a book, but yeah. Anyways, we'll get. I have that jotted down here as another question, so we'll skip that for right now.
Okay. What's next? I'm intrigued.
What's next on the coming? This is a multi-part question because I think I know where it's headed. So we'll see, though. I could be terribly wrong. Do you have anything new coming out?
Revelations is coming out on Wednesday. It should have been coming out on Wednesday. However, the paperback version was released last week, a week early. I'm working on Betrayal. Second part of Leticia, so I'm hoping to have that out in a couple of months as well. And my Little Dream series, just as soon as I get a chance to start working on it again. I'm self-publishing though, so it doesn't take long. Once that's written, it's off to my friend to do an edit on it, and then it's out, but I couldn't really give a time limit on that at the moment.
Well, that's good. Every time I talk to somebody in writing, normally seems the deadlines go in the other direction, so at least something came out early.
Yeah, it's, the printers that my publisher uses is actually directly linked to Amazon anyway. It's Create Space. So they decided, oh, it's in print, that's it. We're putting it live on Amazon. So I didn't even know it was on there. It was a friend of mine that said, you know, it's on. And I said, what? You know, it was a bit of a shock, but it was a good shock.
Yeah, like I said, there's always, you know, normally here, you know, one of the authors I had on a couple months ago said, yeah, it was supposed to be out a couple days after the interview, because that's always scheduled the interview, and it won't be out for another 6 weeks because of the printer or something. And I'm like, well, if you would have told me that probably before we got on air, we could have rescheduled the interview, but okay.
I've got a fantastic publisher. She's absolutely brilliant, and everything gets done. There's no delays or anything. Everything is started, ready, done, out there.
So I guess I have another. I'm going to skip the follow-up question that I was going to ask and ask this other question first, and then, anyways, I'm just trying to talk myself through it so it's visual for me, so I don't ask the same question twice, because you'd probably be polite and answer it, but I just don't feel like being that.
Yes.
that very kind of special person at this point. What was your inspiration behind Bloodlines, which is my...
Well,
I was told to make sure I asked that one, so there we go.
Is this from Tabitha?
Yes.
Yes. I try to think about this, and the honest answer is that I don't completely know. My mind was all over the show at the time, as I was explaining before. And I've had a love of horror and fantasy from being knee-high. And I think basically what it was, I got so fed up of seeing the same thing. You know, I was watching fantasies, I was watching the horrors, and 15 minutes into the film, I could basically predict the ending, and I knew what was going to happen. everybody seemed to be having fantasies about vampires, and I wanted demons and witchcraft and things that you could really, really play with, and where there are no boundaries. And that's basically it. I mean, I wanted a heroine that wasn't all moody and needy and dependent on everybody else. I wanted her to be self-sufficient and kick butt, and maybe, I suppose, in some chapters she comes across as being a bit arrogant. But just something different. It's a very, very, very hard question to answer that for me.
You did well enough for me, so we'll see how the other half takes it, but that's okay.
it's just a love of all things dark.
Well, so you've kind of touched on this earlier, so I'm gonna ask the formal question at this point. Let's see. What advice would you give? I'm just going to say authors looking to be published for finding a legitimate company, because it seems like you had an issue with one, but the current one seems to be doing okay. So what would be the...
Okay, I'm going to have to be very careful what I say here, and if I sound annoyed, that's because I am. The first company I went with, who will remain nameless, took an awful lot of money off me. And back then, I mean, like I said, I never imagined being an author. I didn't have a clue as to what to do. I was just absolutely thrilled that a story that was kind of born from nowhere was being published. The horrors then started, I'm trying to word this correctly here, the horrors started about 12 months after, and I learned an awful, awful lot of things. So to anybody that wants to be published, you don't pay a penny for it. The publishers are supposed to invest in you, not the other way around. Also, make sure you're with a company where an editor is actually an editor, not somebody that thinks they are. Research them. And don't just look on two or three websites where people are saying, oh, my publisher's great. Really look into them, because at the end of the day, you're placing your baby, your heart and soul in their hands, hoping that they're going to do it some justice. So make sure you know where you're going. Ask people. Don't ever be afraid to ask any questions. If you get rejections, don't give up. Everybody gets rejections. Even Stephen King will have got rejections. Don't be disheartened. Don't let anybody put you off. Because if in your heart of hearts you know this is what you want to do, you can do it. Just make sure that you're with the right people. The publisher I'm with now, she's wonderful. She's wonderful. If I've got any questions, she's there to answer them, and she's so straightforward and plain speaking, and that suits me because I'm the same. Very, very plain speaking. You don't necessarily have to be with a massive, massive publishing house to get recognition, to get your name known, to do well, and to have people actually see your books. It's hard work marketing it, and it takes time. But it's more rewarding when you've done it yourself. Does that make sense at all?
Yes, it does. Because you've got to find the right mix of what you need and the right people. It's just, it seems easy sometimes to just rush out and take the first offer you get and go to town.
Which is exactly what I did. And that was the biggest mistake I ever made. I mean, the first edition of Bloodlines, I read it now and I cringe, because There were several edits done on the book because, I'm not going to lie, I'm terrible at English literature, you know. I never wanted to be a writer. But an editor's supposed to be good at that sort of thing. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of what they did was good. But then when it went to print and I read back through the book, they'd actually released an earlier edit, not the final edit of it all. So the mistakes that have been corrected, it was like they was ignored and the previous version of it has been put into print. So you definitely pay more attention, because I didn't pay attention at all. It was a very, very, very stupid thing to do. And I kick myself for it regularly. So just be careful.
Yeah. And I also heard you, excuse me, mentioned that you're going to self-publish. Pros and cons of that versus going through a publisher.
Pros and cons of self-publishing. I've only done it once. It's a short story. I know people said to me, oh, it's quite difficult to do. I don't think it is. But, I mean, everybody deals with things differently, don't they? I think it was very, very straightforward, very, very easy to do. Trying to edit your own work to get it to, you know, a polished standard, not so easy to do. You read your work back to yourself as, you know what you've wrote, that's how you read it. You don't see mistakes. I'm not the greatest with grammar and punctuation. So if you're the same as me, make sure you get somebody that is good to read through it. I'm lucky to have a friend that lives three doors away from me that's great. But obviously, unless you can afford to go out and buy it, the services of a professional editor, when you self-publish, you're doing it yourself. That's the major downside to it. There are people out there that read the books, and their inner editor comes out, and you can tell by reviews left that you've left quite a few mistakes in there. That's the only downside to it, I think. Everything else, I think is plain sailing. That's the major pitfall.
Yeah, it would seem to me to be the way to go. I mean, then you have it, and don't have to worry about somebody else. I don't know. How do I say this politely? Taking some of your money. There we go. I was going to use another word, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, that doesn't bother me in the slightest, to be honest. Look at it this way. If you're self-publishing, you pay for your cover art, you might pay an editor, you might pay for somebody to format it, you might pay for help marketing the book. So all that money's coming out of your profits from your book sales. If you're with a publisher, and it's a good publisher that's not going to charge you any fees, really, are you really losing out on that much when you've not had all those upfront costs?
Probably not. Not as much since you pointed out that direction. And I'm glad you mentioned book covers, too. I've been looking at yours. Do you do book covers? Is that what I'm...
I do, yeah. I'm a graphic artist as well.
What's that process like? Because I'm always talking about the book, but how do you get this? It's got to be, I'm going to say, impossible to put, because you know the whole story, and then try to put it into whatever size that image is, to try to capture it and capture attention at the same time.
I suppose it depends on what you like. I like the front covers that got one of the characters on the front. You know, I like the ones with people on the front. With the Bloodlines trilogy, I've actually just redone all the covers. I put the livery of them today. I've got Bloodlines in my hand at the moment, The girl that's on the front of there now, she's exactly what I envision Kira to look like, you know, my main protagonist. It's easy, but it's not easy. I don't even know how to explain it.
No, I follow what you're saying, because I try to do show banners and I want to pull my hair out, so...
But if somebody comes to me and says, Lindsay, can you do me a cover? And I say, yeah, what's your book about? Well, it's about three girls that live in a haunted house and they run around screaming. I'm not really going to get a cover from that. If they say, you know, I've got... My book's out, there's the blurb, read that, can you design me a cover? And I think, no, not really. Because I've got no feel for the book, I don't know the storyline, so I can't try and incorporate that into the graphic. It's good when you get someone coming to you and say, right, Lindsay, I've got this idea, and this is what my characters are like, and this is what the story's about, and I was thinking maybe we could have this, that, and the other, with a little bit of whatever. And you think, interesting, you know, and you go, you put it all together and add little bits, take little bits away. Something, you get a feel for it when you're doing it. If the person knows what they want, that's great, but you, as an artist, you always put your own take on things anyway. I find it quite difficult to do covers that aren't dark, gothic, or fantasy. But, I don't know, you've got to have that feel for it to be able to do it, as far as I'm concerned.
It makes perfect sense to me. It's just being the artist, I guess, you know. You just either have it or you don't have it.
If I don't have any idea what your book's about and you can't give me a little bit of insight, which I know myself isn't always easy to do, then I can't make a cover that I don't... How can I say this? I can't create something if I don't care about what I'm creating.
Well, it'd be tough for you, like, say, the reference that comes to my mind right now is tattoos. It'd be impossible for me to walk into you and say, yeah, I want a bird. You know, and then you go, okay, and then you draw this little blue jay or whatever on my arm. That's your bird. Well, I was thinking more like a crow or whatever, you know.
Exactly. The worst type of people are when you have to say, what do your characters look like, and what colour hair have they got, and you have to ask so many questions just to get this image of one character in your head, and they're not very, very forthcoming with information. You know, when people come up to me and they say, right, my character looks like this, they're this tall, and she likes this person, and I want him on the cover, and the setting is... I don't know, a castle, and I'd love to have it in the background with some lightning striking it. That's when you can really get a buzz about it.
Maybe if it's been a sketch artist out first.
Well, funnily enough, one of the covers I've just done is for a book called Sailor Moon, by an author called Scarlett Black. That's a pen name. I'm actually good friends with her. She's a really nice person, and she was telling me what she wanted for this cover. She had it all there, and I'm thinking, right, okay, trying to take it all in. And then I found out that she actually does draw. She's an artist in her own right. It's just hers is pencil to paper, and she'd actually drawn this cover out and then described it to me for me to do through the computer. Now that was a very, very interesting thing to learn about her. And but it made my life so much easier because I knew exactly what she was thinking. She described it to me perfectly. And, I mean, I think there's, I'm not being big-headed or anything here, but I do think the cover's fantastic. Her vision for that book was absolutely phenomenal.
You can be big-headed. That's okay. I won't tell anybody.
No, it's that was her vision, and it was absolutely, it was a pleasure. I mean, it's always been a pleasure to work with her anyway. I've done a couple for her now. But she's got a great imagination.
That's a good thing to have, especially being in that. Well, I think it goes hand in hand. It's probably the chicken and egg thing. Which comes first? Having a great imagination or being a great artist? But
she's definitely got some good ideas. And I mean, to have the patience to draw them out. I mean, my sister actually draws as well. She just, funnily enough, since you mentioned it, she just actually designed me a tattoo based on the Bloodline series. But I mean, I wouldn't have the patience for that. I can write you a book and I can do the graphics on the computer, but to actually sit there and draw it, no patience. And I can't draw anyway, so you know.
That's okay. Well, if you can't do it, you can't do it. That's just, you know, you've got to know your limitations. I guess the thing is, Lindsay and Kendall, I guess I should mention that once in a while, just because. I'm horrible about that. I know who I'm talking to, so I assume everybody else in the world knows who I'm talking to.
Well, yeah.
If they don't, they should pay attention. They should listen for the full hour. Oh, goodness, before I get trouble. Before we run out of time, because we've got about 20 minutes left, but we're going to, you know it's going to happen. We'll get to that point, and I'll be like, oh, I should have asked this before I asked that, because I'll forget. What's your website, and where can people find your books? And
just make sure you ask everything that Tabitha wants to know, because
I've got all that done, so we're in the clear on that end. So now I've got to take care of you to make sure you get your website and all your stuff out there, and then
I have a website and a blog. Website is dead simple, it's lindsayannkendall.com. The blog site is also pretty simple, that's lindsayannkendall.blogspot.co.uk, I think, but don't quote me on that.
I'll look it up and put it in my blog, so.
You can find me on Goodreads, I'm on Facebook, I've got an author page and obviously my own profile page, but I'm happy to speak to anybody on either of them. And I'm on Twitter, which is just at Lindsay Kendall.
Do you like Twitter?
Do you know what? I don't really use it that much. It doesn't interest me. You know, if I put something on my blog, I'll tweet it. You know, if somebody tweets something, I might occasionally retweet things, but I prefer Facebook.
Is it too short for you? Is that the problem? Or it's just too random for you?
It's a bit random. It's just not Facebook. It's just not Facebook. I think Facebook's very straightforward, very easy to use. And you can put as much or as little info on there as you want. Twitter, and you're shortening words and things don't make sense, and I can't say I understand half the tweets that go on there.
Yeah, I used to like it, but it seems it's more and more spam. It's harder to actually reach people anymore, so it's kind of like, forget it. So
I know people use this Pinterest. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, sounds good to me. I don't know.
I don't know what it is. You know, I've never been on there. There's so many things coming up now that people are using, and I just think, first of all, how have you got time to do all of that? I mean, I don't sleep, and I still haven't got time to do it. But I think if you're on Facebook, you don't need anything else like that. I don't think you need Twitter. But there's a lot of people out there that will be shouting right now that yes, you do, so that's fine.
Well, let them shout. They can tweet at us, and we'll get it someday.
Yeah, if I actually go on and check.
I always check it just because it's just one of those daily routine things, but it's, yeah.
Yeah, it comes through to my phone and it doesn't go off that often, so that's fine by me.
Have to change it. I'll have to start buzzing you every day just because. So we talked about book covers and other. Is there any other talents and hobbies I'm missing out there that you'd like to discuss? I mean, I know you're probably busy with the writing and book covers, but.
I'm writing, I do book covers, I make custom-made swag, you know, the bookmarks, and I make keyrings and jewellery and everything as well. I also do an Avon round with my mum. We've been doing that for about 11 years now, and I help my sister with a 22-month-old little girl. So my days are pretty crammed.
That sounds pretty crammed. My wife just got into making jewelry, so you'll probably be, now that she knows that, you'll probably have another topic of discussion with her about things to do. So.
That's fine. She can talk to me anytime.
I look at it and go, ugh, I don't have the patience for that. I'd have it all wadded up in a corner.
My head's like a car crash, you know, there's bits flying everywhere. And when I'm actually sat here and I'm making these things, it's one of the very few things that will calm me down, it will relax me, because I'm always moving around or on the go or thinking about something or typing something. And I put all my concentration into making those and I just go very calm. And that is a rare occurrence. So I want to start doing it a bit more, I think, and chill out completely.
Well, as long as you find something that works, I can't argue with the results. So
they look nice as well. They're pretty, so it's good.
Well, they are. They're pretty when they're done. It's just, yeah. Must be the man in me coming out here. I just don't have the patience to sit there and put them together.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it is. It's definitely the male thing. But, I mean, other than that, I'm quite unsociable, miserable, boring, very, very antisocial. That about sums me up, actually.
That's okay, though.
Well, apart from having a fascination with what you do.
What I do?
Paranormal investigations.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Do you have any... Okay, since you brought that up, that was where I was headed, just because I wanted to leave that until we were, you know, almost out of time, just in case I needed some filler. Your stories, do they have any personal tales behind them, or is it all just...
Well, I haven't seen any werewolves running around or vampires yet, because if I'd have seen a vampire, I'd be one myself by now. But... I'm going to probably sound crazy here. You know what, I don't actually care. We've had people in our house all the time I've lived here, and they come and go as they please. They do what they want. They've never harmed us. And even as recent as a few months ago, I actually saw the shadow of one walk right in front of my sister's bedroom window. They've been a part of my life from moving into this house, and I was 4 when I moved here. So the love and the interest has been there a long, long time.
Yeah, and that's fun. I like hearing stories like that.
I actually visit quite a few haunted locations as well to see if I can see and find anything, and I have had a few conversations with things, and it's fascinating. Fascinating, something that I've got a very, very deep belief and interest in. I've seen and heard too much not to believe.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one. But it's got to be more amazing. There's some good grammar for somebody out there.
I'm not
the difference in the difference in the history. I mean, we've America's. Well, I guess we have the Indians over here and stuff, but your history dates back many years before ours. So, It's just got to, even just going to a historical place that's a couple hundred years old, just got to send chills, well, I don't want to say send chills down your spine, but if you start thinking about it and wondering what it was like, I'm sure it gives you some kind of emotion.
There's a lot of places that are like that. I mean, I actually want to go and visit somewhere later on this year if I can. It's down south in Glastonbury, and it's the ruins of Glastonbury Abbey, which are around 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just phenomenal. I mean, I like history anyway, but you do get a vibe from them. You know, sometimes it can be an overwhelming vibe as well. But it's, I think it's great when you can go in somewhere and all the hairs on the back of your neck stand on end. And nothing frightens me, so. And I'm not saying that to try and act all tough, but genuinely nothing frightens me, so. I'll go in these places, and if something was there, I'd be the one that ran off chasing it. You know, while everybody else ran out screaming, I'd be going after it. It's a great world. It's a very interesting world. But to do it like you do it, I mean, I'd love to do that.
Well, it's possible, I'm sure. There's probably somebody over there listening now that goes, well. So.
Yeah, invite me the next time you go somewhere, because I won't run away, I promise.
You just may be the fictional characters in her story entitled Scooby-Doo Returns.
That would be good, yes. Let somebody invite me with them.
Well, I'll put the invitation out to a few. It's interesting over there. It's.
You're not sure.
I find all kinds of groups and like blogs and that sort of stuff from over there. But I've been looking for like shows like mine over there, and I can't do it. So I keep promoting myself over there nonstop. Not that they want to listen to an American talk about it, I'm sure, but whatever.
Well, I watch Taps.
See?
You know, we need more of them programs, actually. I think they're the only ones I actually believe. I mean, we had Most Haunted, but, I mean, I think everybody in England knows that they were reading from a script. You know, it was ridiculous. And considering they're supposed to go out and show you evidence that ghosts exist, or you actually see the host running around with a camera pointing to their face screaming. So, to me, that's not a good program.
No. But somebody thought it was. Not me, but, you know. Who knows?
No, not me either. but it's a... See, what you need to do, you need to move over to England and do it over here. And then I can come with you.
That'd be like the ultimate road trip, seeing how there's no roads, but...
Listen, I think that's a good idea.
Well, my wife wants to go to Ireland, so, you know.
I've never been.
It's on her bucket list, so to speak, so. So, speaking of bucket lists, where would you want to go, then?
Me, I went to visit Finland 6.5 years ago, and I want to go back and never leave.
Why? That's somewhere I don't hear often, so why?
It's... The population of their whole country is less than that of London, you know, and they're 5 times the size of us. So, and I mean, I'm very unsocial, so less people makes Lindsay happier. But it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And the people are so... They're so nice. They actually have time for you. And, I mean, I don't know what it's like where you are, but over here, people, they don't seem to have much time for each other. You know, some people find it hard to crack a smile. You know, or to even say, have a good day.
Yeah.
You know, they're just rushing around and getting to work and going to pick the kids up. They're so obsessed with their own lives. They don't really see anything else. You know, they don't... They don't do much, let's put it that way. But in Finland, they, how are you? How have you been? Are you going to have a nice day? Where are you going? Or have you tried going to this place? And even when he was sat in one of the cafes, just the general public, they were just so nice. You know, I was really taken aback because they're just beautiful people. And I mean, you could be sat outside one of these cafe bars and go inside, leave your purse on the table outside. You could be in the bar 10 minutes before you realise you've left your purse. You go outside, your purse is still there. You do that over in Manchester, you'd be in the bar for 30 seconds, come out, and your purse is gone. You know, it's, there's no crime, there's no, everything's just so laid back and relaxed. It's just heaven. It's just heaven.
Yeah, it's rush over here too, so.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm definitely going to Finland. I was contemplating coming over there for a while in the future, but I think I'll just go straight to Finland. We'll see. Yeah.
Never know. Right?
Strange. I might win the lottery next week, so I might just go around the world instead. Well, stranger things have happened, you know?
That's true. That sounds good, though, winning the lottery.
Yes, it does. It does. New car.
Oh, exciting.
I think that's all I want, actually, is a car. I don't know what I'd spend the rest on.
Oh, I'm sure it wouldn't take long to figure out.
I'm not one of these girly girls. I don't go out shopping for clothes and going to get my nails done. I'm not like that at all. I can't stand shopping. No, just a new car. I'd be happy with it. I'll donate the, you can have it.
Well, I've got that recorded, so we're good to go. Then I'll come see you. See, that'll be the travel fund. So.
Well, there you go. I'll send you a check. That sounds good.
Well, I want to thank you for making time for me. I know that it hasn't been easy, but it has been fun trying to get this all together. So
it's been lovely to speak to you, and I mean, you know, say hi to Tabitha for me.
I will. And she'll probably be begging me for to hear this before I actually air it, but that's okay. I can do that for her. LindsayandKendall.com, right?
Yes.
In the last minute here before I forget. And all the books are on Amazon and all that fun stuff. So go buy them. Go buy them all. And then review them.
Yes, please, because people seem to forget that part. So good or bad, all reviews help.
It's true.
I don't take it personally. If you don't like it, that's fine. It's not for everyone.
That's also true. It is what it is. You either like it or you don't like it, but at least some kind of feedback, so at least you know that you get read it the full way through.
Well, that would be nice. It's always, I'm always thankful for it, so.
That's all you can ask for. That seems to be the running theme that I always hear from authors. Good, bad, indifferent. Just let me know that you took the time to read it, and they'll take the time, most of them take the time to reply either way, if it's a personal message or whatever. Of course, they don't get in the comment wars on reviews, of course, but.
Well, even if it's a bad review, I mean, it's criticism, but it's constructive most of the time, so, and how are you supposed to grow as an author if people don't tell you your flaws? You know, you've got to have a bit of criticism so that you can try and, I mean, I don't think any book out there is perfect, but you can try and perfect your craft as much as you can. You know, so.
All right, well, I'm going to travel off here and close it up, so. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me, and have fun on your investigations.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll speak to you soon.
Well, before we flip that on-air sign to the off position, a quick reminder. For all things about the report, previews, and reviews, go to italkparanormal.com. That's italkparanormal.com. Good night.
This is Thomas Fusco, author of the book Behind the Cosmic Veil, A New Vision of Reality, and you are listening to The Mallard Report.
Hey, everybody, it's The Mallard Report.
It's the moon.